Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is March 21st. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing all right. You know, mixed Sunday, Illini get ousted, disappointing end, you know, of the season. Again, you know, second round, it wasn't really disappointing. They weren't very good.
You were not high on them. You were very clear to everyone on whatever it was, Wednesday show. Like, they're not playing well, they're not that good. And I took that advice and you know, adjusted my bracket accordingly. I don't know if I picked Chattanooga outright, but I didn't have them going past today. So, yeah. Everybody loves to hear about your bracket. But, you know, they're out.
It's like your fantasy football, right?
At least
tell you about your bracket.
Have your expectations high, right? I mean, that's
last
what
year
saying.
Was you a were, right, backbreaker. Right. You know, this year. Right,
this one,
but
you were very realistic about it.
We got a winner for our fantasy golf podcast. This is a renowned DFS podcast. Sam Burns.
Should we start putting like our record in our profile, like Twitter? You know how the DFS has like
over
4 winners last year, 2 winners over the last 17 years, like things like that. Like everybody, you know.
Is this our first winner?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't. Who did I even pick? I don't remember who I picked. I think I get an MC, whoever I picked. Yeah, congrats. Sam Burns, you really went out on a, you know, on a limb with that one. The defending champ, Bermuda Bob, Bermuda Burns, played well at the Players, immediately does well at the Florida Swain, and you pick, like, I guess you could take a victory lap. It's like picking Gonzaga or whoever the number one seed, overall seed is to win the NCAA tournament.
But hey, congrats. You know, I mean, one and done a lot of times is about getting the guy to
at
win,
the right.
You know?
Sure.
So many times you look back on a disappointing one and done season and you're like, wait, I got like 3 made cuts out of the top 10 players in the world. Or in your case, you look at it and you say, man, I forgot to pick 8 of the top 10 players in the world.
Saving them up for the net championships. Like, oh, well, none of them made it to Atlanta. Oh, well. All right. Let's get into it. Sam Burns is your winner of the Valspar Championship. He wins in a playoff over Davis Riley. A frequent subject of discussion here. Usually when we're just crowing about the
Davis zone?
Well, the Davis zone or the longest KFT season in history and the injustice that, you know, bestowed
upon.
Well,
look at him. He's a rookie. He's playing good golf. He's 32 in the world golf rankings now. The FedEx Cup.
32? Oh, God. You scared me every time. I was like, no way he's 32. Every time
he's like in the low hundreds or 150. I thought he was going to move into the top 100 with a win. But God, I got you so good there.
You did. You did. I was stunned to hear that. But yeah, he played well. But Burns played better, slightly, I suppose. He made an incredible birdie on the second playoff hole from a crappy spot. You know, we heard, I don't want to do too much Azinger stuff, but, you know, it's sort of hard not
pressure.
To when he's on the call.
Did you hear him when he was, when it went to the playoff?
I can freewheel it now?
Yes!
Oh, I heard it. All the pressure is gone, and now they can just freewheel it, like as if it's a practice round and not the crucible of a playoff.
And he said, speaking from my own experience, all the pressure you feel all final rounds just gone because you've got second place check secured.
Well, like, couldn't you, like, I don't
Isn't
understand
there still
that
pressure?
Theory at all. Yeah, I don't understand that theory at all. Like, so in essence, you could say, like, you have a check coming no matter what on Sunday.
You
like,
know
so
that on
no
18
pressure.
if you're leading the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand that. When he said freewheeling, I was like, oh, come on. What is he talking about? Like, now he's just like, this is the lowest stakes now that they're in a playoff. And the Sunday group reps, the final group reps, he kept talking about for Neesmith and Davis Riley, which might actually be a thing.
You know, yeah, I think fair, it is kind of a thing.
But he just loved that was red meat for him. But
sometimes too many. I think it's a thing, and then it's also a bad thing because like too many Sunday reps, late Sunday reps without wins, I think can kind of hurt you the other way, right?
Up in your head, yeah, for sure.
Maybe JT's getting to that point right now.
A lot of top tens for JT.
I think it's just like if the putter hasn't been hot.
No.
And but I don't know.
Segue. One putter that was hot was Sammy Burns. Sam, he does seem to do it. Does seem to do it with his
doesn't
putter.
Burn a lot of edges. He makes a lot of putts. Did you hear that one?
Did they say that on the broadcast?
Yeah.
I maybe willingly tuned that out. I don't remember that, but yeah. As long as they're probably making fun of themselves. That's fine. Hey, while we're on the broadcast, real quick. I let it go last week, and we'll get to Sam Burns. I hate that we're doing this. I let it go last week. You popped it, and I was like, I just didn't want to talk about it or was moving on to something else. The logo sucks. The Golf Channel PGA Tour logo thing sucks. On the shirts, the shirt is like just an affront. It's a freaking billboard across the whole chest. It's enormous, and then we'll move on. We don't need to talk about it for 10 minutes, but I'm with you now. I didn't jump on it last week when you mentioned it, but I'm fully on board. The logo sucks. It's so big on their golf shirts in the booth there, Azinger and Hicks. It's kind of
a double logo. It's just a double logo. That's the other thing about it is they didn't even creatively tie, like creatively... It's just like offensive. It just anybody that ever like tries to come up with something creative, this is giving you the middle finger. You know, it's like, oh, we're just gonna put the two logos together.
Not the biggest deal in the world. Okay, yes,
no, but it is an absurdly uncreative logo. It's actually embarrassingly like these are two huge organizations. You can't come up with something better than we'll just put them right next to each other. Right?
That's fair. That's a fair critique. That is a good question.
Like one thing about them like being co-branded sucks. But like at least be a little discreet about it.
Sure.
Or get creative about it.
Yeah, creative.
That's just basically like hammering the two things together and them being like, we're just going to hammer this together.
Yep.
Just like we're going to hammer you with FedEx Cup updates all day long.
We're going to see that on WGC.
You didn't know what was going on in the FedEx Cup. You weren't listening to those FedEx Cup updates. You know, do you know how they do the studies on like where people look? And effectively, they've proven like people have learned to like zone out banner ads on websites.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and you've become blind to everything.
Yeah.
Do you think that now... 16 years into the FedEx Cup, you've become blind to FedEx Cup updates.
Like, well, it might have become the other way.
Corner of the website you never see. Soon as it starts,
you know what?
You just tune out.
That's not a bad theory, Indy. Like, occasionally, I'll tune it in for, like, the unintentional comedy because I have a podcast and I know you're going to throw me a curveball like you just did with Davis Riley. I should pay attention to this because I could make a joke or maybe there will be a joke made at this expense later. So maybe I've swung the other way, but you're right. That's a great theory. I would imagine the general golf watching public who I just don't think they're bought in on this thing year 15 or whatever it is. And I think you're right. That's a good theory. I love it.
Like playing through. I can't do it. I don't do it. I think the people that watch it, like I'll hear things.
You don't do it.
Like I can't watch. I lose my attention span when playing through comes on.
You watch
and the
ad.
Screen gets cluttered. I zone out. I treat it like a commercial.
Yeah.
I don't watch. I think the people that can watch the little screen. That's crazy to me. You got people barking at you. 15% screen. I can't do.
Interesting. You know, it's better than nothing, but it's not great, I guess. You know, it's we'd be crowing about it if it was a hard and fast commercial break. I mean, we'd be shouting.
Well, I know this is just a personal thing. I just can't pay attention. I lose my...
Okay.
I've got bad attention spanish in general.
Well, number two in the FedEx Cup is now Sam Burns. I think he's ahead of Cam Smith. Last week's, you know, big winner. Wins all the extra bucket of points, but not enough of a big bucket. At last, he jumped.
He only got 100 more.
Burns, there's a bunch of two-time winners. I know the season's pretty deep, but, I mean, Hideki's won twice. Burns has won twice. Cam Smith has won twice. A lot of guys battling for that FedEx Cup number one.
He's got as many wins in since last year's Valspar as anybody on tour.
Three.
Him and Cantlay.
Three wins and what? Something like, how many starts? 22 starts. Three wins and 22 starts, I think I read. So he got it done with an amazing birdie on the second playoff hole in a bad-ish spot in the rough. Fires a approach shot to the back fringe. Davis Riley had, you know, too much juice on his, and it was kind of an amazing putt. Came in the back door, went all the way around, and it was what, 35 feet, something like that. So.
It was I think the whole round he putted the ball so well, and I think that's what makes him such a potentially, like, he could win a ton. He could be prolific, a prolific winner. Because of how well he putts. And, you know, the entire back nine, he played really solid. You know, he got locked in early in the back nine. But the thing was, he hit so many great putts down the stretch that the ones that went in were one thing. But, like, all the ones that didn't go in were, like, burning edges. And that's the thing. Is like, he's one of those guys that you just, like, are kind of surprised when he misses. And the way he, like, just kind of, like, casually brushes, he's really quick over the ball, which I really like. Now, like, he does the, you know, aim point straddling stuff, but he gets up to the ball and he hits it right away. Like, he's constantly in motion, and I really enjoy watching him play golf.
So he's got two in Tampa and one in Jackson, Mississippi. Not really done much at the majors.
Was last year the first year that he was in all four?
I don't think he even played all four. He was. Is that right? He wasn't in the 2021 Masters. He's never played in the Masters. Is that right? He obviously was in it this year already for victory. But is he confined to the Southeast? Can he get it done outside the Southeast? I'm just trying to be like a Skip Bayless take. He can't win outside
Here's the thing. If he can't win outside the Southeast, that's okay.
Fair. There's amazing.
Lots of golf's played in the Southeast.
More PGAs coming to the Southeast. That's fair.
And bad news for Trevor Immelman is that the President's Cup is played in the Southeast.
That's true. I thought his bogey putt on 17 was the best one. I mean, obviously the one to win it is more of
a huge prayer,
but the one on 17 is like a, you know, either or.
That's the thing. Like a
bogey save, I suppose you could say.
Being a great putter, we see this with Spieth, is like being a great putter just can bail you out of situations,
right?
You know, versus being a shaky putter. And it's weird. Like, you put these like really broad terms over great putter, shaky putter, and like, I'm not statistically good at like, but
yeah.
But just like that putt was a putt that so many guys would miss,
right?
And you know, and a lot of this goes to like it being his week, right?
Yeah.
But he, I don't know, it was a really impressive win, especially playing with JT. JT got it going and got it like to where you thought he might rattle his cage a bit before he faded away. But also, like, Davis Riley was great. He made that triple bogey.
He made the bad.
He hung
triple.
In there.
Yep.
I mean, this guy shouldn't have been playing on the Korn Ferry Tour. I know this is, but it's just absolutely bonkers to me that we're like actually. You know, a year we didn't get to see him for an extra year on the PGA Tour, which sucks.
Yeah.
It's just the whole system. I mean, we'll talk about it, but like, just like get guys up.
So Burns is 10th in the world. He knocked DJ out, I read. He was knocked DJ out of the top 10 for the first time.
How long ago? Crazy. How long ago was it that DJ wasn't in the top 10?
They said 7 years. First time he's out of the top 10 in 7 years. So, I mean,
think about what was going on 7 years ago. 2014. You think back to your life in 2014.
2015, wouldn't it be?
2015.
22 That's right. Minus, yeah, 7. I think it's 15.
I had just started, dating my wife, or you know.
Yeah. Now you're married with a child.
See.
That's fantastic. Amazing.
DJ.
Yeah.
DJ, just been in there forever.
He's been puttering and billowing basically, right? Since he won the Masters, isn't that the thing? He's not really done a lot. I thought that was.
I think it's since he won the FedEx Cup.
Was that before the November Masters, and then he won the November Masters?
That's so. I think it was before.
The timeline got rearranged there on us. But anyways, Burns is number 10 in the world.
Yeah, they did end the FedEx Cup, right? No, they didn't. Didn't they push it back?
No. I mean, maybe a little back. And then you had Wingfoot, and then you had, and that became part of the super season, the next one. Maybe
he won that. Did he win that FedEx Cup or the next one?
I don't know. As you can see, the FedEx Cup is just registers in our brains, and we commit it to memory when and where and how it happened. Anyways, Sam Burns, 10th in the world. Congrats to him. Riley, the shot at 17 was the one that, we talk about Burns' bogey putt. His shot at 17 was the closest of the day. It was like this slow climb back from that triple bogey, which was a disaster. Like, he chunked it.
He was so bad on the front nine. He drove it like shit, but... Yeah. The way he came in was really good, you know, and that was super impressive. Neesmith was you know, he didn't. Both the guys got off to just a bad start. I mean, it you know, when it's those two guys, and then in the group ahead of you, you have Burns and JT. It's like it's one of the. I feel like that happens a lot of times at majors where we have one final group, and you're like, but somebody's gonna win from the group ahead of them, you know.
Yeah. It's like that happens very often at majors. Feels like you have like the main event is the undercard, kind of, that's like in reverse order, so to speak. Yeah, everybody's out ahead following. It was a good crowd. It's pretty rowdy. You know, the Tampa crowd always gets a little loose, a little rowdy, and a lot of people showed up.
Snake Pit, too, you know. Snake Pit almost bit Burns.
Did. It was his first bogey of the day, or bogey on, at least first bogey on the back nine, 17. What did you make of Riley? So he's on 18. This is two things you hate. Two things you're not crazy about. Riley having to wait to hit his drive while JT steps off his bunker. Or not his bunker, his fairway wedge. Wedge from the
dude,
fairway.
Dude, JT's so slow. When he's in contention, he's so slow. He had another sequence where he was standing over a ball for like 5 minutes. Bones had like the two clubs they were going through. It was on what hole was that on? It was on the par 5, 15. They were going back and forth with the wedges, and it's just like, dude, come on.
So Neesmith hits. Riley's on 18. Needs what? He needs a par to playoff, and he can't
birdie
hit
to win.
Yeah, it can't hit.
He piped it though.
It was amazing. It was amazing drive. Azinger was like aghast at guys hitting driver on that hole. Like, it's just the modern, like, this is the way the PGA Tour has been. He's like, oh, that fairway, I tell you, gets down to 19 yards. Damn, they're just hitting driver. And he did, but he had to wait. He had to wait for JT to step it off. JT, you know, with fair, I mean, circumstances, if he holds it, he had to hold it.
Well, he should have had to use a timeout. He should have had to say,
that's true.
Timeout. Used one of his four timeouts.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it should be like, there should be a timer. Just so we get like some sort of like the flag in the NFL, like how the coaches all throw the flag differently. Some drop it, you know, some throw it.
Yep.
There should be some sort of item they have to take out of their pocket and throw down onto the ground.
That would add a little color, right?
That's what I'm saying. You get like four of them.
You could probably get it branded. They could, you know, their marketing guy could get that sold, like Wyndham Rewards.
It's like a token. You have to put a token into some machine.
Just making it more of a circus, a little entertainment product.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Speaking of branded, speaking of marketing, should we do an ad read here, Andy, for Elijah Craig, the brown juice, bourbon of the shotgun start and the fried egg? Let me get my points here. You were talking about, I have questions about market. I have a marketing question. You just were talking about the FedEx Cup. We have a URL. You can go to ElijahCraig.com/thefriedegg. Or no,
is
not
the fried egg.
No, it's fried egg. ElijahCraig.com/fried egg. And what I want to know is, do people go to URLs based on podcast reads? I'm curious about that. Are you in
your
car?
What are you trying to get people to pull off our advertising?
I mean, do you stop your car, pull over the side of the road, and go to ElijahCraig.com/fried egg and check out
what's
going on there?
Well, it depends on what's on the URL, you know?
Right, right. And you go to a website to read about bourbon. If you want to,
I think there could be some good stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think, you know, there's like... On some websites, they've got... Yeah, Elijah Craig's got, like, cocktail recipes.
Oh, I could use that.
It's actually... Look, there's some of these look really good. Like the Eli's Vanilla Flip. That sounds tasty.
Eli's I think Vanilla it's Eli, Flip.
It's Eli Manning's drink.
No way.
The Kentucky Buck. This
it's
sounds
not Eli
really
Manning.
Good.
Right,
it's not Eli Manning.
Eli. I mean, I was wondering. Do you know any Eli's anymore outside of Eli Manning? There is.
Yeah,
no
I know a
Eli.
Guy. I know a guy named Eli Litt.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose if you grew up in the South, neither of which we did, you might know a few more Eli's or went to school in the South. But I don't know a lot of Eli's. But I do know Elijah Craig. It's a great bourbon. Every bottle of their award-winning
awesome
small bitch, small.
It's
patch.
An awesome web.
Small patch. This is what you get when I have to read and can't talk. When I gotta read, a small batch carries a signature warm spice and subtle smoke flavor. It's exceptionally smooth and well balanced. I drink it as you
it's
are
really good.
On the rocks. I occasionally will make an old fashioned. My wife makes old fashions. I usually
I'm
just
telling
go
you,
on the rocks.
Go
I'm
with the Kentucky,
time.
The Kentucky Mule. It's like a Moscow Mule.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We do those. We make those.
Oh, God. They're the best.
Those. Yeah.
My issue with them is they can lead to some severe hangovers for me because they don't taste like I'm drinking anything.
Yeah.
They're like they're so refreshing. I want more of it, you know?
It won the double gold San Francisco World Spirits Competition. You should check that out while you're out there in California. You're too busy being a little drone boy. You need to go to the spirits competition. It's flying drones, chick, you know, taking out these courses. But yeah, go to this. It won the gold, double gold at San Francisco World Spirits Competition. Pick up a bottle today or order online for home delivery. And go to our URL to read more about this. Don't pull over. If you're on the train, you can pull it up. But when you get to work... You go to the URL, you open it up. That's the first thing you should do. ElijahCraig.com/fried egg. Neglect your work and peruse the website for a few recipes.
Assuming you're 21 and older.
Yeah, assuming you're 21, which reminds me, I should do the legal mandatory read verbatim. The Shotgun Start is brought to you by Elijah Craig, Kentucky Straight Bourbon, Whiskey, Bardstown, Kentucky, 47% alcohol by volume. Elijah Craig reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely. That brings us to our Elijah Craig Masters Fact of the Day. I talked to
Eli Craig's Masters Fact of the Day.
Bama Bearcat is hounding us for bourbon now.
What about Eli? What about Eli Apple? There's an Eli.
That's true. Didn't he single-handedly lose the Super Bowl? Not single-handedly. That's too mean. But he got picked on in the Super Bowl. Not a resounding performance for that Eli. But I talked
to
Bama Bearcat.
Oh, we have to talk about. We got to talk about the Browns.
No, we don't need to talk about that.
Why don't you want
to
talk about
it? I'm not ready to talk about it. I'm processing it. It's a disaster. It's a disgrace. We spent three straight first round picks. We gave him $200-some million guaranteed. We structured it so if he's suspended, they're not taking money. It's not great. I mean, we're going to be, maybe we're good now. I don't know. Like, it's just, I need to process it. Everybody sending me the jokes about every Browns fan, you know, deleting all their Ben Roethlisberger comments for they've made for the high horse they've been on for the last 20 years about Big Ben. It's not a good situation. And the Browns released these statements today that all say nothing. And just like open them, like I met with him face to face. I wanted to look into his soul. Like, it's the gist of the, it's just like, don't, I mean, I guess you got to say something, but they look stupid. But
I mean, the thing is, like, the world has been, you know, duped many times by people.
What does that mean? What are you talking about?
Like a single meeting with somebody is never
right. Like, we did our due diligence. I heard from him. We
met with him. It was like the guy from England that met with Hitler and came back and was like, Hitler was a great guy. I'm not saying that Sean Lawson is Chamberlain.
Yeah.
I sat down with him and
I trust him.
That is not like, that's not a,
that's not
like
enough. Presumably they did more background work, but you know, just saying you met with them never suffices. And their statements were ripped apart as they were going to be. But that gets us to our natural segue to Elijah Craig, master
well,
stack
I think,
of the day
I
from
think
Deshaun Watson.
We could have rebranded this Elijah Craig segment to your Browns juice.
That's good. Browns juice. There you go. But I want to get a master's
this is this is the stuff is, that gets you through being a Browns fan.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. Master's fact of the day from Bama Bearcat. He's going to be at the Masters. He's asking for Elijah Craig now because he's supplying us with part of this branded segment, which is fair. He'll be at the Masters. I will give him, hand deliver, a small batch bottle. Maybe we'll do some pomp and circumstance in Augusta National. I'll finally meet him. I've never met Bama Bearcat, but here it is. Why aren't there any old divots on Augusta par 3 tees? Did you know this? I guess I didn't know. I never thought about it. The tees are resodded after the women's amateur is over, and again after the men's practice rounds, and again after each day's tournament play. Is this true? I guess it's true. I didn't think about it.
I'm
going to
verify this. I'm going to verify this.
Yeah.
But
resodded? I guess
that's unbelievable.
I guess there aren't divots.
This is a great Masters fact of the day. If it's true, I'm going to verify. But I trust Bama Bearcat. But I this is unbelievable.
I never. I mean.
What a master's fact of the day. You never think about that, but it is true.
I never thought about it. They don't move. They move 12 like slightly, right? Matter of yards. Do they move the other ones substantially? Four?
Yeah, they move that around.
Four gets because
some days they play
amount.
Short, and then they play
so
long.
So you could know if they resodded it, I suppose. If they move it around, like up. But 12 you would, for sure. Interesting.
You know what area of the course they don't resod every day?
What's that?
Kitty Litter Alley.
Oh, yeah. They just put a fresh coating down. You know? That may be gone this year, right? They got,
yeah, I think Kitty we'll Litter Alley, it could be week. No more.
They got three trees. It looks like three.
That's going to be a Masters fact of the day in 20 years.
Kitty Litter Alley?
Kitty Litter Alley. Was, you know, this great this spot.
For an era of,
for
what,
20
10,
years.
20 years, yeah.
20
Anyways.
Years, the ideal line on the 11th hole was up this little 10-yard strip of kitty litter when it rained.
Right. Which, you know, it didn't have to rain. There's just human traffic, foot traffic. It didn't even need to rain. It just naturally, you needed that stuff there. All right, that's your Masters fact of the day. Resodded after the women's AM, after the practice rounds, and after each day's tournament play. I guess. We'll verify that one. All right, you have anything else on the Valspar Championship? Hot Charles club toss? Got a lot of catnip. It was a good toss. I appreciated it. I just wanted to call it out. What else?
Sahith Theegala played good on the West Coast. playing good in Bermuda Burns' territory. That's a good sign when they a young player plays well in different areas of the country. Yeah. That's a really good sign. Yeah, yeah,
right away. Yep. I got one more. JT ruling on Saturday. So this is like, I you know, you win some, you lose some. So the backboarding, you know, a structure that's not there.
He threw one into the backboard on Sunday, too.
So this backboarding not intentionally. Is just not the golf course that everybody else plays. So JT went up against this boundary netting, similar to the stuff at Bay Hill, right? And he goes, it's not a temporary, but it's not there when the course is normally played. He goes, that sounds pretty stupid to me. He was kind of giving it to the official. He had a fair point. He couldn't get relief from this netting fence. And it's kind of like this, you know, you win some, you lose some. The backboard's there when it's not normally there to help. And occasionally we're going to just start throwing nets out there that become stuff you can't get a relief from, even though they are temporary. That's not the golf course you'd play the other, you know, 51 weeks, I suppose.
What was that? On 16, he hit a shot that was long right that bounced into the grandstands that were like a yard off the green. So his ball just stopped. It would have been in a really bad spot probably. And then he got a free drop. So you win some, you lose some.
I just wanted to call it out.
This is actually like my pet peeve about people in golf.
What? What?
Everybody in golf, and I'm guilty of this. This is something that I am guilty. I'm not being a hypocrite here. I have been guilty of this. My wife always tells me when I'm guilty of things like this. But everybody always loves to talk about their bad breaks. Oh, I got that bad bounce on this hole. Oh, I hit the cup here on this one, and I just couldn't get a ball to go in. But nobody ever tells you about the time they hit the tree, kicked right back out into the fairway, or the time they got the bounce off the bunker. And this is the thing. JT got a really bad break and a really good break.
Yep. Yep.
They even out. They always even out.
I wanted to commend the tour for putting these nets up, all in these haphazard situations and creating, you know, additional obstacles for the players while also creating backboards. You know, you got to give and take with this. All right, that's it for Valspar. Do you have anything else you wanted to get at? There were really only four guys that could win: Neesmith, JT, Burns, and Riley. I thought.
I want to see JT win one of these days.
All right. Are we going first take with this?
No, I just think he's either going to win something really big. I feel really good. I mean, he's having a great year. Like, it's sensational. He's doing every single thing except win, you know?
Putting. Not playing well, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, right now it feels like Adam Scott Sergio-y in like the mid-2000s. No, okay. Where they're in every event, right?
Okay.
And then you watch it and you're like, God, they hit the ball so good.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, like they just, you know, and I think that JT's weird because he was so prolific early and that's when he was putting like pretty well.
Right.
And it just shows you how like fickle it is, right?
Right. 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 Okay. Keep an eye on that. I think it's, I'm not there. Like, I think it's a testament to how good he is that he's like literally shows up and he's going to be a top 10 on the league.
I'm not saying that wasn't like a demeaning thing.
I know you're not
taking
a shot at him. I know. I'm trying to formulate my own takeaway here. I know. All right. That's it for Valspar.
Fitzy sneaky having a good little run here.
Matt?
Yeah.
I know. I took him in the one and done that I actually paid for the players and he missed the cut. Got blown out to sea on Saturday. It's like, he's doing well. Of course, might put the touch on him. You know, I took Hideki for this podcast, and he WD'd on Saturday.
Oh, so that's who you took? Hideki?
For this podcast. Last week, I took Hideki. I'm on a heater here.
Yeah, dude. You got kind of screwed. He T6, T10, T9, miscut, T5.
I know. I'm aware. Well, it's not good. And then I had Sergio as well for another one, and he was in it, and then he put it in the water on 17. All right. Everybody wants to hear about my picks. Elsewhere in the world of golf, Carl Juan Juan wins the Louisiana Open on the KFT Tour. Georgia Hall wins the Saudi International Women's. The Aramco Saudi Women's International. Georgia Hall. Blitz the field over there.
Yeah.
News.
I was getting just emails. Bombed by the Saudis International press people. I don't know how they got my email. I never signed up for this.
So many emails. You want to get media accreditation, round reports on everything, scores. You get so much emails from the Saudi events. It's crazy.
How did they even get my email?
They're out there. They're out there. All right. News. Not a lot. Greg Norman's doing a media blitz. He's everywhere. He's on the podcast. He's, you know, some more rigorous interviews than others. He's on podcasts. He's on articles.
His answer for Gary Williams was really something.
What did he say? I'm not a politician. Or
I'm growing. I'm just trying to grow the game.
He's like the worst. And then, you know, he's like clearly just making shit up. Okay, like I've had like 250 emails from players. Like he's just like everybody's emailing me. Like this is like how a recent politician may have talked. Preposterous. Like it's not just I did people email him? Did players text him? I'm sure. But the way he talks about like everybody's emailing me this morning is crazy. He's just not credible on that.
I got a little scoop.
Yeah.
A little Saudi scoop.
Oh. Yeah. From the emails? Or what do you got here?
Hundreds of people are emailing me every day about the Saudi stuff. Players, agents.
Listeners. Yeah.
Players, agents, PGA Tour employees.
They're telling me. This is
billionaires.
This is how we grow the game. I can't wait to see you guys release this schedule. Or I don't know what his quote was. But he was all over media. A bunch of different media.
Happens to be about the courses.
Ah. Okay.
Hearing a potential $3 million hosting fee per year.
Hosting fee that's going to the host. They're not paying to host. Okay.
$3 million. They get like $1 million up front in 3-year contract.
Okay. Wait. Okay, so it's $3 million for 3 years with $1 million up front, or $3 million.
I think $3 million per year for three years.
Okay. That the Saudis or the LIV Golf is giving the courses to host. So you could see why maybe a management company might,
Oh yeah.
You know.
I mean, they don't care about their members. They're there to make money.
Doesn't have to be put to a board or anything like that. Interesting.
If you're a single owner in Chicago, you know,
not totally unsurprising, right? I mean, there's a lot of places like concession paid through the nose to host.
Yeah,
this is going the other way because of
how about that?
The deep pockets of LIV and also the baggage that may come with being branded as a host. That's interesting. I love No Laying Up had that Pumpkin Ridge members, like, we're getting dinged the price of the membership's going up. And, you know, you can't use the course for a certain amount of days, and maybe they're getting it up from both sides there, taking a cut from the Saudis and price going up. That was interesting. Interesting.
The best would be if that golf course didn't get it, but some other golf courses did.
Yeah, which we can't verify. We don't know that all of them did, right? We just heard that.
We don't know.
Okay. All right.
This is just a rumor.
Just a rumor we're throwing out there. All right. Interesting. Not totally shocking. News. Norman did his media blitz. Do you have any other comments on that?
What is there to comment about?
Friday. We talked about the schedule. He's talking. He's out there.
Is Greg Norman up there pushing his stuff that we've talked at length about? And yeah, I think they're hitting the same points they've been hitting.
Yeah. Other news, WGC Field, that came after we recorded. Bryson is in for now. Presumably he won't be in by Monday night, Tuesday morning. I don't know. He's in the field. Who's not? Cameron Smith, who said, last week he's taking time with his mom and sister who are still here. Rory and his annual pre-masters sort of rigmarole, Jungle. Trying to sort it out. And I should play a lot. I should not play. I should play the Euro Tour. I should only play the PGA Tour. I should, think it's the biggest event in the world.
I should ignore it.
I should pretend it's the Sanderson. I should juggle. This year, it's not playing the WGC, but playing the Valero, playing the week before. So he's not playing in Austin, but he will be.
He's going down to San Antonio.
TPC.
Going down to hang out at the Riverwalk.
The Oaks.
Get some good barbecue.
Which, I mean, you could go to
maybe
Austin.
replace the rotisserie chicken sandwich from Torrey Pines.
But you can get barbecue in Austin, I believe. I'm sure, right? I've been told they have good barbecue there once or twice.
I think they have good barbecue in San Antonio.
Totally. I'm not suggesting it's exclusive only to Austin. I
hear what you're saying.
Is skipping Austin. Hideki's hurt, not playing. Harris English is hurt. Phil Mickelson just indisposed. Hurt, wounded, and, emotionally, I don't know. Wounded in many ways.
Is he not playing the Masters?
I don't know. It's going to be wild. So they don't have that Friday deadline, right? I mean, it's not like you don't know Friday at 5. It's like it's the Masters. You're invited, you show, or you don't. He may not be. You know what's crazy to me? This just speaks to the Phil ride the last year. I couldn't believe he was qualified. Because he's been so long. But then he did win a freaking major within the last 10 months. It's just nuts. He's 45th in the world.
It's got to be one of the strangest years of any golfer ever.
I was like, wait, he's qualified? He hasn't even been a relevant player for the last...
If you took from this point last year where he was awful.
Right.
Horrendous at golf.
Right.
No signs of life to winning the major, then being awful again. And now this fall from grace.
He's top 50 in the world. I don't think he's going to play the Masters.
I don't either.
Is that crazy? Now, is he not going to play by his own choice or because he might not be welcome or some combination of both there in the middle? I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting story that we'll probably never actually get a full report, accurate report on that. Okay, that does it. You have anything else you want to add to this Monday episode, Chipper?
I don't think so.
Valspar was fine. It was fine. Florida swing's over. We're on to Texas and Augusta National. All right. Enjoy your Mondays. We'll be back maybe Monday night, Tuesday morning, because we got the quick turnaround here with WGC. It's a 5-day event. We'll be back with a full preview of that.